Hi!
Oh my
nice.
God.
I remember reading a parole report once, and the parole officer stated that I was a hopeless dope fiend. And I believed that, and I didn't think there was any way out for me. When I was 7 or 8 years old, and my parents bought their first home, and we used to have a bus that would come pull up in front of the house every Sunday and run us to Sunday school. That's when I gave my heart to Jesus, and it wasn't long after that that things took a turn. I was 12 years old, and I decided I was going to hang out with some older kids. And little did I know, these guys were going to smoke some marijuana. And I remember when I took that first hit, my life went up in that cloud of smoke. I was introduced to heroin. So at 16 years old, I became a full-blown heroin addict. My life spiraled after that. Heroin became the most important thing to me, and before I knew it, I was in and out of jail, in and out of prison. Everything was in chaos. Eventually, I had some children, 4 kids, and I had nothing to do with my kids. I destroyed every relationship. I alienated myself from my family, and that lasted for the next 37 years of my life. I was hurt, I was angry, and I didn't know where to turn. But during those years, my mom, my faithful mom, she continued to pray for me. I have this cousin, and in the early 2000s, she went through Teen Challenge. She would always tell me that Jesus loved me and that I needed to go to Teen Challenge. She gave me a number of the induction center in San Diego, and I called down there and I spoke to one of the advisors. He said if I could be there the next day, that I could come into the program. I walked in there and I literally felt the Holy Spirit. And I just felt at peace, and I knew I was in the right place. Working alongside men that just come right off the streets, right out of addiction. I look forward to going to work. I love my job, and I just hope to be an encouragement every day. The restoration that's taken place within my family is beyond words. To be able to share, after all these years, those hurts and those pains and all the trauma of not having me around, they've begun to heal. And now I'm their dad. I'm their dad. I love them. They know that I love them, and they love me. And my mom's heart is healing. She actually looks forward to seeing me. She's happy when I come over. And the greatest blessing of having been restored to my family are my grandchildren. They didn't have to see me at my worst. They got to see a different grandpa. And for me, that's the greatest blessing. And what I do today is I make sure that I reach out to my family every single day, every morning. As soon as my mom wakes up, I make sure that mine's the first message that she sees. I'm not an absent father anymore. The shame is gone. The guilt is gone. I'm able to look them square in the eyes and say, I love you. And it's God who did that. His word says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. And he's definitely done that in my life. And I believe he's doing that in all my family's lives as well.
God deserves all the praise and all the glory. I told Ernie he didn't have to say anything this morning since the whole video was done, although he has spoken here. But I just wanted you to see this incredible friend of mine. I serve as the missions pastor here. I've been on staff for 9.5 years. I've known Ernie for the 7.5 of those that he's been on staff at Teen Challenge. And he has been sober for just under 10 years. Thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to honor you. And I wanted to honor each of you who are continuing in the fight to choose Christ over addiction. So I honor you. Bless you. Thank you for being with us. Thanks, Tony. St. Andrews has been partnered with Teen Challenge for over 40 years. And if you've come to this church for any length of time, you are well familiar with our longstanding partnership with Teen Challenge. They are a worldwide organization working with men and women who battle life-controlling addictions. It's not for teenagers, that's just part of the name, but it is for men and women around the world, and they have had profound influence in favor of the Lord in allowing people who are battling addiction to experience the redemption and restoration of Jesus Christ, the one who we all know and love. And so with that, we have the Southern California Executive Director and my dear friend Ron Brown to bring us the word today. Ron, thank you and welcome. Can we give him a word? St. Andrews, welcome.
Thank you so much, Julie. Praise the Lord. It's such a joy to be at St. Andrews today. Thank you again for your partnership with Teen Challenge and having us again on Labor Day weekend. It's kind of a tradition here at the church, and we're so excited to be here. I remember all those years ago when I was the director in Orange County. Shane Parr is now our director. Would you please stand, Shane? He's doing an amazing job here in Orange County. Amen. Amen. And a great team of staff that are working with him. But Teen Challenge Southern California, we have centers from San Diego up to the Fresno area now. Men and women who are in recovery, who are coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ and are leaning into a new life, a new destiny, a new hope, and a new purpose. God is doing miracles at Teen Challenge. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And but I remember when I was director here in Orange County before I became the executive director over Teen Challenge of Southern California, Dr. Bill Flanagan and Laura Johnson came to my office and said, you know, Teen Challenge has been supported by St. Andrews for a very long time, but we don't want you to just be a line item in the budget. We want to have a relationship with Teen Challenge. And I always remember Flan's smile and his passion. And leading the way to connect us with this amazing community of faith. And for all these years, we've been partnered together to see lives transformed, to see families restored, and to see people receive a vision of a hope that is far, far removed from their addiction, that is filled with hope and purpose. And that's what Ernie's story showed today, the reconciliation, restoration of family relationships, and leaning into the reason God created us was to give him glory and to live lives of dignity and make a difference in advancing the kingdom of God around the world. So thank you for your hand and your heart and your prayers in being a part of this great ministry. You know, yesterday was International Overdose Awareness Day that is kind of commemorated around the world, and it was at the White House this year with the Office of National Drug Control Policy. This past year, in 2023, over 107,000 people died from drug overdose in our country alone. And think about all those families who are missing their loved ones. And so because of your support, there are many families who will not be missing their loved ones this year, but they will be celebrating the newness of life. Give the Lord a shout of victory for that. Amen. We need some good news, don't we? Ernie's story is a good news, and each one of the stories of our students here in the choir are all good news. Amen. There's so much bad news when you turn on the television. There's wars around the world. There's so much devastation and hopelessness that is going on. But the good news is this, is that Jesus Christ rose again on the third day with all power and all authority, and he's still setting sinners free. Aren't you glad about that today? Amen. This is good news. Praise God. That we don't have to be bound and oppressed in addiction and sin, but we can now walk in freedom and newness of life. You know, the greatest fear of any human being is not being loved. You know, we can deal with all kinds of things. We can deal with poverty and trials and all kind of tribulations, but to not be loved and to feel isolated and alone is the most difficult thing that any person can deal with. We were hardwired for relationship because that's who God is. He's a God who's relational. Amen?
That was a little weak. Amen.
God loves to build relationship. When he created the heavens and the earth, when he created man and placed him in the garden, and he would come and have fellowship with him in the cool of the day, it was all about fellowship and relationship. And when we're not in relationships in the right way with God, with others, and ourselves, we are isolated and we're alone. And that's when we become prey for the temptation of the tempter to move into all kinds of things that are destructive. But thank God for Jesus Christ, who came to set us free and to show us the way back to the Father's house. Amen. The scripture I want to share today is from Romans 8:1, and I'm so excited to share that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's read together Romans 8:1-2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, it's the word of God leads us to God himself. So we don't worship the Bible, we worship the God of the Bible. Amen. And so much of the scriptures is really God's love letter to us. It's really a love letter of the Father saying, I want to have communion and relationship with you. You know, A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Pursuit of God, he wrote this, the voice of God is a friendly voice. No one need fear to listen to it unless he has already made up his mind to resist it. The blood of Jesus has covered not only the human race, but all creation as well. Isn't that wonderful to know? And he says, with this knowledge, we may safely preach a friendly heaven. You know, sometimes we don't think about God as being relational. We think about him as the judge, and we have all the different aspects of his character. He's our provider. He's our shepherd. He's our God. He's the Lord of hosts. And so we have all these pictures of who God is, and we don't really see him many times as being friendly, because we know ourselves at our worst. We know ourselves at our lowest point. We know the things that we struggle with that are so close to our hearts that sometimes it's hard for us to believe that God wants to have fellowship with us. Well, the Apostle Paul made it very clear in this passage today that there is no one, no thing, nothing, not ever can separate us from God, because he has taken care of that condemnation in his own body on the cross. Can someone say amen? Y'all, this is really good news, because we know the challenges of life and the things that come in our lives. But today God says, I love you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son. Have you believed in the name of God's one and only son, Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Then we stand as those who are not condemned. We stand as those who are free. And it says, therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? It means that we have a relationship with him. Hallelujah. It's not that we're just trying to keep the law or trying to keep the commandments, but we have a relationship with him. We are in Christ. And the relationship is the entire point of the law. It was to really enhance relationships. That's what the law was all about, but we could not do it on our own. We needed some help. Say with me, I need help. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? Jesus came to bring us that help. And he did not leave us comfortless. He did not leave us as orphans. As a matter of fact, later on in this 8th chapter, the Apostle Paul says, we've been adopted into God's great, big, wonderful family. And he has sent forth his Spirit into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, hallelujah. And we don't have to be fearful and return to any kind of yoke of bondage, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. This is good news. I said, this is good news. Amen. And so we've been set free. This is the gospel. I think sometimes because the gospel is so simple, we want to make it complicated. We want to make it something so convoluted and so far removed from us that we don't enter into the fullness of the joy. There's joy in the house of the Lord, as we were singing earlier. There's joy in our hearts. Joy is the flag that flies high from the castle of my heart, we used to sing years ago. It's the joy of the Lord that springs up inside of us as we celebrate, not just that we were not condemned, but we celebrate that we can now have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is complete restoration with the Father for those who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Ernie's story that we saw on the video earlier was all about, is that we have this ability to enter into this place of fellowship with God. You know, in Romans chapter 8, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation. Someone told me years ago, when you see a therefore in the scripture, you need to know what it's there for. Amen. So what was Paul's argument up until chapter 7? He was talking about how God was revealed in nature, and he was talking about the battle between the flesh and the spirit, and how we desire to do the right thing, and then we end up doing the wrong thing, and we find ourselves dragging this body of sin and death around with us, and we feel like we can't make it. How are we going to get free from this? And he says, in light of that, therefore, remember this, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because of our relationship with him, we are now able to walk free and not be bound by those condemning voices that tell us that we can't make it, that we won't overcome. Hallelujah. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You know, there are the building blocks for relationship. One of the key building blocks for relationship is involvement. You need to be involved. God wants to be involved in our lives. Hallelujah. He doesn't just give us a creed to live by, a set of doctrines, a set of instructions, a set of teachings, but he wants to have a vibrant, passionate, walking daily relationship with us. It's not about just reading the Bible and cherry picking how we can please him. It's about leaning into him and say, God, when I fail, I'm so glad you love me. God, when I do good, I'm so glad that you love me. God, when I'm just kind of so-so in between, I'm so glad that you love me. You care about me, and you are involved in every pursuit and every process of my life. God wants to be involved in our lives. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the revelation of Jesus Christ, he said he comes and he knocks on the door, and he wants us to invite him in so he can spend some time fellowshipping with us. When he comes in to sit with us, he's not coming to just judge you and put you down. He's coming to just let you know how much he cares. He wants you to know that the burden that you're bearing, that you can cast it on him because he cares for you. He wants you to know that the sickness and that you're dealing with and the bad report that you've gotten from the doctor, that I'm in the battle, I'm in the fight with you. You're not alone. I'm standing with you, daughter. I'm standing with you, son. And we're going to see this thing through because I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am your God. Hallelujah. This is good news. Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't let them clap alone. Amen. Praise the Lord. God wants to be involved in our lives. Another building block of relationship is time. We need to, where do we spend our time? If we calibrate where we spend our time, then people will be able to see what is most important to us. How much time do we spend watching mindless things on television or through the streaming services? There are so many channels now that give you whiplash. You can't keep up with them all. There's so much that keeps us distracted and away from life so that we're not dealing with what's really in front of us. But when we spend time in God's word, when we spend time talking to him, when we spend time worshiping, when we spend time fellowshipping with the saints, this is time well spent, because this is what we are hardwired for, is relationship. When sin came into the earth in Genesis, it really disrupted, hallelujah, the fellowship and the relationship with God. It disrupted fellowship with one another. It disrupted fellowship even with ourselves. And so we're broken in so many ways. But Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to restore us. Aren't you glad that Jesus is restoring you? Amen. You know, you never get to the place that you don't continually need the restoration of God's grace and goodness in your life. I know that you've had a series that you've been doing here about how one generation praises God to the next generation. And I saw one of the messages online, and I was so blessed. Pastor Jason is a wonderful speaker of the word. And, you know, I wish I could teach like that, but I'm just me. So praise God. But he's really good. Amen. But I was thinking about that. And, you know, I've had the privilege of seeing seven generations of my family. My great grandmother, Mary McNeely, was born in 1873, and she named me. She lived until almost 1970. And so I grew up with my great-grandma, and then her son, Curtis, my grandfather on my father's side, was born in 1903. And then my dad was born in 1930. Then I was born in 1960. My kids were born in the 1980s. And now my grandkids are in the 2000s and the 2010s. And so I've seen seven generations of faithfulness and the love of God that lets me know that God wants to have a relationship. It's wonderful. Not everyone has had that kind of impartation of relational faith. But it's a powerful thing when we understand that God is faithful through all the generations. Isn't that wonderful? What a legacy of faithfulness of God. And you can see it from Genesis to Revelation. You know, the Bible uses relationship language. God talks about being faithful as he talked to his children Israel. He said, I'm faithful. I'm in covenant with you. I will be faithful to you. And when they would go off after other gods, he said they were committing adultery. And he said, I'm jealous. I'm a jealous God. He uses relationship language throughout the scripture to let us know that he is a relational God. He's not just a deity that's off in the heavens that is not touched with the feeling of our infirmities, as the book of Hebrews says, that we have a great high priest who understands our weaknesses and he wants to walk us through those things. Never lose sight of that. No matter how long we've been on that journey, if we've just started recently or we haven't started yet, this is a great day to start on that journey of faith, praise God. But if we've been on the journey for a long time, it's important to recalibrate and remember how much the Lord loves us and cares for us and wants to be with us. Do you want to be with him? Amen. Praise God. That's why we're here today, is because we want to be with him. That's why we have anniversaries and we celebrate our relationships and marriage. My wife and I have been married for 37 years. And so those are times when we remember what God has brought us through and how he's brought us closer and how we walked through all kinds of tragedies and different kind of circumstances in our lives. But we're still loving each other. We're still loving God and we're still carrying on. And so God wants to commemorate that love with us on a regular basis. So don't run out of his presence. Spend time there, because that's what we were built for. We were built for relationship. You know, love has to be learned, because we don't know love until we know God. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 says this: see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is who we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. To know him is to know love. To know God is to know love. So the reason that I know love, yes, I have some generational love shown to me in my family, but God is the one who has to reveal love into our hearts. Hallelujah. The kind of love that lasts, because all of us know that families go through things. Hello. Amen. There's all kind of disruptions that go on in families, and our relationships get strained and stressed, sometimes at the breaking point, and only God can put it back together again. You know, we're not looking for Humpty Dumpty. We're looking for not all the king's horses and all the king's men. We're looking for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who can restore our relationships. So if you need restoration in your relationship today, understand that it starts with knowing God. It starts with putting Christ at the center of everything. And then from that place, the Holy Spirit will teach us about love, so that we will know how to have compassion, how to have mercy, how to have grace, how to have forgiveness with those that are closest to us. Isn't that wonderful? There's a song by the Gaither Vocal Band called I Am Loved that says, I am loved, I am loved, I can risk loving you, for the one who knows me best loves me most. I am loved, you are loved. Won't you please take my hand? We are free to love each other, we are loved. I said, if you knew, you wouldn't want me. My scars are hidden by the face I wear. He said, my child, my scars go deeper, and it was love for you that put them there. That's the kind of love that Jesus has for us, a sacrificial love where he bore all of our sin, all of our shame, and all of our pain. And he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation. There's no sentence that can come against you because I am with you. I am your God, and I love you. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, well, does that mean that I don't have to keep the commandments? I don't have to do what he says? Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So we keep the commandments because of the love relationship, not to earn the love relationship. The love relationship cannot be earned. It is a gift. For God so loved the world, he gave. He loves the entire cosmos. He loves the world. He loves mankind. He loves the planet and the stars and the moon. Now, I don't really know how to love planets, but God knows how to love planets because he created everything and he said it's good. He loves everything about his creation, and he's in the process of restoring all things. And that's what we look for on that day when Christ comes and he puts everything right. And Paul even talks about that in the book of Romans, how all of creation is groaning and wanting to be restored to its rightful place when sin came in and shattered and broke everything. And through Christ, there has been this great restoration that has come. And the moment that we receive Christ, it's done. You don't have to prove to him that you're good enough to be his child. You don't have to prove that you're good enough to be loved. Because he says, while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us and died for us. While we were yet sinners, we weren't even thinking about following God. We were full force in our rebellion. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and he loved us, and he has put his love inside of us. So enjoy that love relationship, and you know we have a responsibility to share that love with those around us, because the world can't know love until they know him. So guess what? That means we have some work to do. We must share this faith. We must share Jesus Christ with the world. And that's what missions is all about. That's what the mission of the church is all about, is so that we can get that love revelation into the hearts of others so that they too will know how to love. And then they'll be able to see their relationships mended and restored all through this powerful gift of love that comes from the Father. We'll close with this. Verse 35 of Romans 8 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution, famine, or nakedness, or danger of sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So we don't have to be on a treadmill of works to try to show God that we're worthy. All we have to do is receive and worship and glorify him. When Adam was placed in that garden, he was given a job. He was given work to do. But his work also brought a place for him to give honor, to give worship, and to give praise to God. There are three components of faith. There's the intellectual assent where we hear a message and go, that sounds reasonable. I think that's right. And then there's the daily walk of faith where we choose life. We choose hope. We choose peace. We choose love. We choose joy in the face of all the horrors of this world. It's a daily walking out of our faith. And then obedience. following the commandments of the Lord. This is what God has called us to be faithful stewards of the mysteries of the gospel, to be faithful stewards of the revelation of Jesus Christ, who is love itself. And now we know how to love one another. So wherever you are on your journey, if there are strains in your relationships, know that through God, there is no condemnation. Stop beating yourself up. Get off of that treadmill and say, Lord, thank you. There's no condemnation. I'm in Christ. I know Christ. I'm not condemned. Now, from this place, give me the courage to make faith steps as I practice what I believe to see restoration and harmony brought to those around me. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day. Thank you for the amazing saints here at St. Andrew's. Lord, they're leaning into this love that they have come to know through Christ. And Lord, I thank you that even in the midst of all of the stuff of life, we can find our way forward because we have a helper, the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you really didn't leave us as orphans, but you gave us the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us into all truth. Holy Spirit, come, lead us. Teach us, train us, show us how to live out this love relationship so that more of your kingdom will be seen in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.